get away into that confessional. Some of us were about to step into the shower, and that's not a very pleasant thing. Right. Evaluation forms and envelopes, please, into these boxes. Please, please, please put them in. If you haven't vacated your room, you better run away and do it now by 10 o'clock. And this is now after 9:30. There's a box at the door as you come in for keys. If you haven't wandered all the way along to reception, there's a box there that you can throw your keys in. Please do not go home with the keys in your pocket, because you'll need to post them back. Right. This morning will be a time of review, followed by our celebration. And it will be a fun time with dancing, music and proclamation. So lots of smiley faces. 10:45, we break for refreshments. We'll finish with prayer, worship and testimony. And at 1 o'clock, we finish officially and we have some lunch. And if anyone can hang around and help pack up, that would be greatly appreciated. So what I want to say is, if you've not already booked for Holiness, 21st to 25th of October, Steve's not even listening. See, we can talk about him and he's not even listening. Please book, and if you're like me, book a flight now, because it'll be cheaper than waiting to the time. Young Elijah, are you wanting to come, son? Obviously, he's excited about coming. So get yourselves booked onto Holiness, and take a leaflet and get it to your friends, because God ordains these appointments to come here or there, sit home, wherever it is, right? He's talking about it. See, I'm stealing his notices today. And also, I wanted to just say thank you to everyone that's worked so hard. I know he's going to say all this, but I'm just saying it anyway. Oh, he's not going to say that. Oh, well. Because everybody has worked hard, and thank you to everybody, including the team. Including the team, the dancing, the workshops, everybody, Monica that organises a whole load of stuff behind the scenes, all the dancers and everybody, because it wouldn't happen, and Steve obviously, but it wouldn't happen otherwise. So, last chance, freebies, I've been told again, please go and take all the freebies, the Sword magazines, the Barnabas, the OM, there's a whole load of free stuff, and they've not got an excuse that their boxes burst like this man has. But they didn't want to go home with all the heavy magazines. So take them and give them away, please. Thank you. Amen.
Yeah, well, basically... What?
Go on.
Oh, hi, the new. Right. Yeah, Jimmy. Yeah. Or should I say James? As I said, there's too many people to thank, so I'm not going to thank anyone. But there's one person I'm going to thank. I'm going to thank Paul, sitting here at the front, because Paul was always the first to come to the prayer meetings every morning. And Paul, by his own sort of initiative, took charge of the prayer meeting. So there you go, Paul. Just on the subject of prayer meetings this morning, God couldn't get you all up, but a hot running tap could, couldn't it? Right. So, yeah. Well, Purim just seemed so long ago. the Purim play, and Haman has had an amazing transformation. I don't know what's happened. I mean, if there's been one real success story of this conference, is that we've managed to turn Haman into a Chris Hill, albeit someone with very strange toilet habits. But there you go. The boring bit first. I know there's a little bit of reinforcement with these envelopes on your seats. Just to say that, just to be totally transparent, Monica and I depend 80% on donations to get through the year. Book sales are negligible. I know I've written 25 books, but if I sell 25 books in a month, I'm doing really well. So it just doesn't do it. So donations, and it's through conferences that these things happen. And what would be really good if any of you would think about doing a sort of a monthly thing, however small it may be, it, it enables us to do some budgeting at least. And we do get gift aid back through stewardship. So even though we're not a charity, I'm registered with stewardship and they claim gift aid back for us. So just to get all that stuff out of the way. And also those who become part of the Salt Shakers network, we now have sort of premium things that we do. So we're going to talk more about them later. Certainly Christine will, about the fellowship groups that we have on Tuesdays. But the other thing that we do, just to try to keep the thing going between conferences, because it's not just about now and about October, but we really try to endeavour to build this sort of sense of community. So quite a few people here, one or two of you, meet online on a Tuesday and also on a Thursday. On the Thursday we've had an esteemed Bible teacher who hasn't had much of a chance this weekend, but you've had glimpses of Paul. But Paul has got an ever-increasing fan club, I'll have to say. So put your hands up, those who are in Paul's fan club. Yeah, look at this. So Paul's been teaching probably for, I don't know, a term and a half now. 15 Thursdays in a row, more or less, teaching very Hebraically, and it's been amazing. Unfortunately, Paul's run out of energy for now. but we will be starting in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to do a series on the One New Man, and not just the stuff I've done here. And all I can say is I may not have Paul's enormous brain and his teaching techniques, but I have much nicer PowerPoints. So it's a prettier experience. So we'll be emailing those of you who are on the mailing list. You'll get details of when we start, which will probably be in a couple of weeks, 2 to 3 weeks time, and it will still be a Thursday as well. Foundations 12. We've got your leaflets. It's booking up fast. 14. But all I can say is a lot of them who are booking up are actually specifying what rooms they want. Because they've been before, and when you go to hotels, it can be a bit variable. So those who book late, you could end up in a broom cupboard. So there's a real advantage booking early for hotels. Obviously, conference centres like this, all the rooms are great, but hotels can be a bit quirky. So some rooms will just have baths, some will just have showers. So we need to know early if possible so we can put you in the right room. So there you go. So the details are actually in your packs. It's going to be a very interesting one. I think Foundations 12, we tried to make everyone different. This one, I think, has really been a real sort of teaching conference, this weekend, and that haven't always been, to that extent. And I think Foundations 12 is going to be, there's going to be a lot more workshops, there's going to be a lot more practical, more going out on the streets, engaging with the population, because the theme is holiness, and we're going to explore it in many different ways. I can't say any more because we haven't actually met about it yet. We don't know who's doing what. So, but just to say, I'm sure it will work out on the night, one way or another. The other things we do try to do regional conferences, which are initiated by other people like yourselves. And all I can say is we did one in Taunton. Where are they? Smaldens, I can't see them. Yeah, it was really successful, I think. And, Nancy, basically, I was the only one that came. we didn't have a worship team, didn't have a dance team, right? But Nancy filled in the gap. She did the worship leading very, very well, and she did the dance teaching. with Ginny's DVD, they went through the DVD together, and it went really well, and there were testimonies. And we had about 6 show and tells. And it was a really good day. So it is possible to do this sort of thing very easily.
And then us, we can follow it up.
You've done 2 already, haven't you? So, if Nancy and Keith can do it, any of you can do it. We did one in Dublin. I think we're going to go back to Belfast again later this year. So any of you who've just got... And all you need to do is book a hall and try to get some people to come along. We would advertise it as well. And as long as you can get, you know, 30 people, say, minimum, then it's worth doing. So, you know, just think about it, and it's something that really does open people's eyes, just to see how different, you know, the way that the church is meant to do things. So, you know, just think about that, if that could be you. Other things we do. Right, the Modim meetings. Those of you in London, you may want to, if you want to experience the foundation's experience, which is the idea of turning up and not knowing what you're going to do. So Paul and I and Richard, that's life, yeah. But Christians are not into life sometimes, you know. So basically, we sit around for 3 hours. We're not like Quakers, just sitting around staring at each other. It all seems to work out, and we've had David and Caleb have been to the last three of them, and they've been really good, because and Sally has started to come, and you know, a few people here. So if you're in the London area, I think the next one is it Friday week,
yeah.
Already. So it never ends. It never ends. So but we'll advertise that. Right. Oh, something new. Right. This is an interesting one. We've only just had the idea of this. Who remembers Treasure Hunt? Yeah, Annika Rice. Yeah, men of a certain age will remember. Women of a certain age will remember Kenneth Kendall. You remember Kenneth Kendall rather than Annika Rice, yes. But yeah, I'm going to do a treasure hunt later this year. Every year I try to do a walking tour for Jewish East End, which I've been doing for many, many years. And a lot of people have said, you know, we live too far away to come down to London for the walking tour. So we're going to do it online. Yes. So now that we understand the Zoom system, which we use quite a lot, the idea is get a group of people walking around with me on an ordinary tour, so they'll see everything. But with us will be a photographer with an iPhone or something. And the whole thing will be streamed live, so anyone anywhere else can see it. But that's only the half of it. The other half of it is I'm going to set, there'll be like 10 challenges, like puzzles. So those who are, you know, in the studio environment, which is around the country, have got to solve these puzzles to tell us where we're going to go next. So there you go. So to do that, we're going to need a little team of people to help control it. We need like a couple of producers and whatever. But it's going to be fun. So it'll be a case of probably having 10 secret locations. It will be marked, so I'll get the day before I'll have these stickers and I'll stick them around London, and then see if the studio people can solve the puzzles and get us to the right places. So it'll be, yeah, Jack is looking at me like it's crazy. Well, we can try it. So I'm going to, as soon as the weather gets changes, it's not so bad now, but probably late springtime, we'll do the first one, and I'm quite motivated to do another one based on Christian locations, particularly the Remnant Church. There are quite a few locations in London associated with, you know, the martyrs and John Wycliffe and, you know, a lot of sort of key people, John Wesley. So that could be an interesting one as well. So if that interests you, just make sure you're in the network. Right. Okay. I think now I'll just allow Christine to have a few words about the fellowship group.
Now, some of you have already been along on a Tuesday night to fellowship group. Would you like to put your hands up, please? Great. Right, the next fellowship meeting is in your house, and your house. Brilliant. You don't have to tidy up or dust as long as you angle your iPad or phone or your laptop in the right direction. You don't have to catch a bus, you don't have to get the car out and end up coming home in the dark and all the rest of it. We meet up, it's about fellowship, and particularly benefits those of us who are isolated in one way or another, and there are many ways you can be isolated. But we get together, the prime aim is to encourage one another, support one another, pass on things that we like prayed about, and if you would like to know a bit more, grab somebody or grab who had their hand up or grab me, because it means different things to different people. You don't have to be chatty every time and join in with everything. We have people who come along and don't actually join in at all, but keep coming. So obviously it's doing something for them. Sometimes we have somebody who bowls in something quite controversial and we think, oh, hang on, how do we deal with that? But we talk things through together. You can bring up subjects that you might not have thought through properly yet, and you're not going to get shot down in flames. It really is a great time, and for many of us, it's a key part of our week, along with the Thursday evenings. Now, at the moment, we're meeting on a Tuesday evening, but I'm thinking of doing a daytime one as well, because some of us are past our best by tea time of an evening, speaking personally.
Talk for yourself.
Yeah. You mean you haven't noticed, Malcolm? do come along. It's dead easy. Don't worry about the technology, because you just have to click on the link in the email that Steve sends out. It's a different link each week. The other thing that is really helpful to some of us, and this is just, I'm talking now just to ladies who are on their own, we have a WhatsApp group where we can encourage one another as well and pray for each other. And there, we don't expect people to chip in all the time, but folk do pray. And there's one lady who doesn't chip in much at all, but oh boy, she prays, and that is wonderful. And sometimes we know she's praying because she accidentally hits the microphone button, and you can hear her quietly praying, which is such a blessing to know that there's folk out there praying for us and with us. So if that fits the bill, if you're a lady on your own, men, if you're on your own, get together, set something similar up. We tried it before, it didn't quite get off the ground properly for the men. But if you feel a need like that, you'll have talked to other people here already in a similar situation. Get together with them and find a way of linking up, because we are all family and we can support each other so much more, not just at conferences, but in between, every day. Thanks.
It's David Andrew here. Thought he may want to say something about Sword. He's what? Say that in English. Yeah, I didn't understand. Yeah, I said take them. Yeah, okay. Take them. Yeah, okay. Just take the swords. But I think what he'd prefer is if you subscribe as well. He's walking like that. Yeah. So I think. You should all know about Saul by now. He's out there, is he? It's all right, he'll get his chance later. David, do you want to say anything about Saul? It'll take about 10 minutes for him just to walk up here. We've got an early procession. Look at that, he's taking his coat. Oh, there's a catwalk here, look. It's a David Andrew catwalk.
Foundations and leave your dignity at home. Okay, yeah. Sword, what shall I say about Sword? For one thing, Sword wouldn't be publishing right now but for Steve Maltz and for Peter Sammons, who's not here now, and Michael Oakley, who's not here, wish Michael was here too. But these brothers came alongside me about a couple of years ago, and when I had just about sunk without trace, they picked up the whole thing and they run with it now, and I praise the Lord for that. So I basically have to write the editorial and stay out of Steve's hair, and he doesn't have any trouble staying out of mine. So Sword is a magazine that is seeking to do something that I don't honestly know of any other magazine that's trying to do what Sword is doing. We have the highest possible view of the Word of God, I think. And I would hope that the Lord would correct me if I'm wrong in that. But we have a very, very high view of God's Word. There is nothing on the page that God has put there that's redundant. There isn't a single redundant word in the scriptures from Genesis to maps. Okay? It's all there for our benefit. It's all God-breathed. It's all profitable. And so basically what we are saying in Sword Magazine is that we hope that we will turn every reader into a Berean. Thinking of what our brother Chris said to us last night. We do need to be Bereans in these days. Deception is mounting fast. Satan is trying to plant people within the body of Christ right now who look good on the outside. I was once told by a friend of mine in Surrey, he said, David, you look very good from the front.
That's
right. So basically what he was trying to say is, David, you don't have a good side. But the whole idea of publishing Sword really was to try and challenge the condition, or at least the church's thinking about its own condition. Because up until then, we'd had the magazine Prophecy Today. And over a period of a few years, sadly, I felt personally that Prophecy Today became quite politicized and was far more concerned about the state of the nation than the state of the church, and specifically the state of the church's faith. So really the place we're in just now with Sword is we're trying to say to believers, please look at the condition of your faith. Look at it in the light of Scripture. Hold the plumb line against what you actually believe. Take out your beliefs and look at them and see if they square up with God's word. Because there is so much deception in the churches these days. I'm particularly concerned for two main groups. One are the group of people who are sitting dying of starvation in the pews in churches all over the country because they're not being fed the word of God from the pulpit. The other group I'm really concerned for are young adults whose faith is shaped far more by Facebook than by God's word. And they don't even realize that their peers don't have the authority to speak into their lives. So they've got to make it up as you go Christianity. They take a little bit of this and a little bit of that, put it together, and they think they've got a Christian faith. That's a really worrying development for the future, because if the young adults are misled right now, what state are their children going to be in? And the state itself, when I say state, I'm talking about now the government. The state itself is absolutely dedicated to the corruption of our young people, because every government believes in democracy until it gets into power. But on this side of democracy, no government believes in democracy. They all want to be able to influence upcoming generations and shape them in terms of the party's ideology. And that's exactly what's happening. Our brother here has written Into the Lion's Den. I've given this, I keep putting Steve's books into the hands of pastors for the simple reason that although the pastor is often the cork in the bottle, and I say that from my own experience, although the pastor's often the cork in the bottle, these men are the influencers for good or ill. And so we need to get the right kind of thinking into their lives. And if Steve writes a book, I'll put it into the hands of pastors to try and shape or at least challenge the conditioning of their thinking. So Sword is trying to do in a similar way to what Steve is doing with his books, to challenge the church's thinking and to encourage people to be Berean, to go back to the Scriptures and see if these things are so. And if they are so, then we need to say, okay, well, the plumb line is showing me that I'm off center here, so I need to come back into line with God's word. And that's really what Sword is about. Now, there's one last thing I want to say about Sword. We've never, ever chased money. There's a little paragraph on the inside front cover of every edition that says, if you're the kind of person who would like to receive Sword, but you're not in a financial position to take out a subscription, contact us, and we will put your name on the list for free, and you'll receive it. If you know of someone who's in that position and who simply can't afford the subscription, we'll gladly send it to them free of charge. That's really important. No one should be deprived of the ministry of Sword because of their own straitened circumstances, okay? We just trust the Lord with all these things. That's the way it's got to be. And one last thing. If you've read Sword before, yeah, I don't know what you're like, but lots of people tend to actually like to miss out the preface and the foreword and all that kind of stuff and get right into the meat of the first chapter. And maybe folks even like to skip to the back of the book and see how it finishes and then maybe go back and read it. I would plead with you, please have a look, a good look at the inside front cover. That's generic. It's common to every single edition of the magazine. It's our soul bared for the public to understand what makes Sword tick. Why do we do what we do? Please read that inside front cover. It'll give you an insight into what Sword is really about and what really motivates us. So important to do that, and I say that because only just last week I got a letter from a subscriber saying that he thought that Sword was swinging very much to the right, the very right wing was his phrase, very right wing. Okay, that's probably because we don't tick his political boxes. I have to say, brothers and sisters, I confess to the fact that I'm not in the slightest democratic when it comes to the editorial oversight of the magazine. I deliberately took the reader's page out of the magazine many years ago, not because I disrespect our readers or think that none of you have got any right to contribute your views to the magazine, but because in the nature of things, the people who tended to write in were the folks who had altogether the wrong attitude. They would write in the same tone of voice that one would write to the Times or the Telegraph and say, "Dear editor," and go on at a terrible length, riding one's hobby horse. And these weren't folks who were concerned about Berean. They were just annoyed that we had not ticked their boxes, okay? So I got rid of the reader's page and thought, I'd rather give the space in the magazine to the writings of people like Steve who will benefit the church, rather than the ramblings of somebody who's just got a bone to pick, you know? So sorry, but democracy and Sword don't really mix. Because Sword isn't, it's not a debating chamber, it's a pulpit. It's a pulpit, and we're trying to be faithful to the Word of God in that pulpit. That's really what it's about. So the Lord bless you. I do hope, I really don't want to take any copies of Sword home with me today. The ones, if there's stuff lying at the back there, please take armfuls of them with you and give them to wherever you want to place them, okay? The Lord bless you. Thank you. Lynn. Who's what? Theophilus. Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, he was a friend of Dr. Luke, you understand. I don't know. I don't think I've really got the author's permission to blow his cover, okay? But keep enjoying Theophilus. There's another one on the way. And one of these days, maybe you'll get to learn that. We'll just keep you on a knife edge for the time being. Thank you. Thanks,
Steve. Right, and finally, we have our... the only ritual that we do is the hollers. The hollers, yeah. Yeah, all right. Hold back. Let's do things in the right and proper order. These are two hollers that... in our fellowship, in our Messianic fellowship, the Tree of Life, they always uncover them, the two hollers at the end, because it's bringing in the Sabbath. And they do it in the context of the double portion of manna before the Sabbath to sustain them over the 2 days. I think for here, we tend to say the two loaves will symbolize old foundationers and new foundationers, which is a good way of looking at it. And we can also look at it as the one new man. So, you know, just look at it in any way you like, but enjoy it. What we want you to do any time between now and the end of the conference is to come up and just share the bread with each other. And you can come up and take some bread and offer it to other people in a way to bless each one of us. So this is it. This will be here right to the end. So really, that's all. That's sort of the end of part one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a member of our foundation,
Okay. So part two is the dancers.
Yeah, yeah. Are you in position?
Just stand at the back, kiddos. We just need to move that out of the way. Just move that. Can we just move that? Right, just while we're doing a little bit of organisation, I just want to tell you that we've done this in just over an hour, which is a miracle, and he's certainly into miracles. But I want to explain a little bit about the music, because it may be unusual for you, and also about one of the props that we're using, because a few years ago Rosie and I were in India ministering, and we'd been up in Meghalaya for quite some while, and we came back and we were going via Mumbai. We hadn't slept for a night, the shower had just stopped, we looked dog rough, to be honest with you, and so we went into Mumbai to see what, you know, God was about. We had lots of interesting things happen, but we ended up going to a kosher restaurant in the middle of Mumbai by mistake and being invited to a very posh hotel, very posh, by some girls that were working there. And so we went into the hotel and there was an exhibition of fine silks, of hand-woven, very, very rare silk. And I want to show you what that silk looks like, because what God did was amazing. Somebody had given us an envelope with 500 written on it. Can you just put it down? And we assumed it was 500 rupees. And we were saying, well, praise the Lord, we can have a cup of coffee. This will be nice. When we opened it, we realized it was $500. And it was like, wow, because we never take anything from any assignment we're on. And at that moment, Rosie, who, as you know, is an amazing artist and is largely responsible for practically everything you see that's visible here, said, great, let's go into this exhibition. I said, just look at us. You know, we look really rough. And there's people swanning around in golden saris and, you know, little pages behind with, you know, like this. It was like, will they let us in? So we went in with our $500, and we found this wonderful fabric. And straight away, we knew it was a one new man material. Because God had said to us, the one new man is colors of every nation. It's every tribe and every tongue. So we bought this amazing, exclusive, rare silk. And it was like, wow, God. And then we felt we should make it into a one new man cloak. Because we all belong underneath it. Because Jesus is at the head. He's the face. And when we say the bride, sometimes it's a little difficult for men particularly to think, well, how can I be a bride? But actually, it's the face of Jesus. He is calling us into himself, and we are the bride. So the one new man cloak is a symbol of this. And the music you're going to hear, I need to mention, because once when I was in Atlanta doing something or other in a one-new-man setting, there was a group of people that really offended me. And I want to tell you why. Because they were First Nation people, or we will call them North American Indians. And when I saw them dressed in all their things, I'm thinking, shamanistic. I don't like this. And I'd already made a decision that there was something a bit off with this group. But when I heard them worship, when I actually met them, I had to repent, really repent. And the Lord said to me, do you realize that heaven will be full of every tribe? They're not all white Caucasians, chaps. It's probably full of Chinese. Or our brothers from Africa and Asia and everywhere. And we become one. And in fact, those things almost don't matter anymore. They disappear. I had to really repent. So we offer you music that's written by a Messianic Jew who originally was from America incorporating some First Nation worship. Well, it blew my mind to begin with, but I've had to get happy with it. And so we offer this piece, which is just called Tribes. Thank you.
This work,
yeah. Thank you. That's better, isn't it? That's better. From the wonderful, beautiful book of Revelation, and chapter 7, the following wonderful words. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the Lamb, and before the throne, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, who sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing, glory, and wisdom, and might, and power be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one or two verses from the wonderful epistle of Ephesians, and verse 21. And it goes something like this: In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And this is the word of the Lord.
This is Isaiah 9. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine upon them. You shall multiply the nations. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence. As with the gladness of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden, and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult, and cloak rolled in blood, will be for the burning, fuel for the fire. For a child is born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness, for then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this.
Sure. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here. I think I'm going to sit down. Oh. No, it's not going to work. Oh, thank you. Oh, that's better. I won't have neck pain. Praise the Lord that we are starting lifting up his name on high and give him glory. The only one who deserves all the glory. Our King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the format of the one new man. Every tribe and every tongue. So the songs we're going to present to you are two songs that the Lord gave us. He blessed us with these gifts. We don't ask them. He just tells us and gives us. We receive and we dare to say no to the Lord. We have to be obedient to his voice. One of the pieces we're going to sing is called the Shema, which means hear and obey. And the story behind it is that Matthäus and I and David, we were celebrating Shabbat in our home. Every Friday night is different. Sometimes we sing, sometimes we dance, sometimes we play board games. Sometimes we just eat. Sometimes we pray and eat and sing script. It's never the same anyway. And Matthäus, I had my cajon with me, the lap one, and I started making some noises, and Matthäus said, "Mom, carry on playing that. Make a sound with the cajon." And I looked at him, okay. And I started making some noise. And the Lord gave me the words of the Shema to this tune. David joined in with the guitar. Praise God for God's David's gifts that the Lord gave him with music. He hears a tune and he can put the sound to it. And the so we are amazed by the way the Lord work in us, through us, through every gift we have. So yeah, the Shema. So we're gonna sing the Shema to you, as was mentioned in Steve's talk yesterday. And I'd like to read the translation to you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. So these are the words we're singing to you. In a slightly different language. So, here's the choir with you and see how the Lord is using these wonderful people to learn so quick. Here we go. Yeah, ready? Elohenu, Leolamba.
The second song I'm going to do is called I Am Not Ashamed. in the last few years, whenever I used to write just songs from ideas I got from things I'd heard in preachings and off TV and things like that. But the Lord had a different plan. He wanted me to put music to scripture. Excuse me. So apart from the first verse, it's from Proverbs 3, 6 and 7, which we've heard this week. And it's also from Psalm 27, verse 1. It's called I Am Not Ashamed. I am not ashamed to bring good news. Are we ashamed to bring good news?
No.
Good. That was the right answer. I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed.
are not afraid. We are not afraid. We are not afraid to speak the truth. We are not afraid. We are not afraid. We are not afraid to speak the truth.
Jose, did you have a scripture now or later?